Good morning. My name is Young Cho. I'm the attorney for appellant Clyde Moyza.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You need a pen?
Here you go.
I know. It's always awful not to have something to write with when you're... Unfortunately, it's not the first time it's happened. I know. I've been there.
Thank you. Okay. Three arguments. I'm going to concede at this point my third argument I'm not very thrilled with.
What argument are you conceding?
The new material evidence argument.
Right, that's a new case, in effect.
Right? Sorry?
That would be a new case. Evidence that was developed after the ruling by the ALJ would be the basis for a new case, but not a basis for finding error in this decision.
Under the case law that I appeared, yeah, that appears to be the case. Right. So the other two arguments, though, I'm...
So what's your best argument here?
I think it's...
Well, this is a serious case.
Yes.
All right.
I'm just a little nervous, so please bear with me if you... it's his pain testimony. He basically described having problems that that are congruent with the evidence. There has been no evidence of malingering or any of the credibility findings that they employ to say whether the person is credible or not.
Is the ALJ required to accept the pain testimony in the absence of direct evidence refuting it, given the state of this record? Was the ALJ required to accept the pain testimony in the absence of direct evidence to refute it on the state of this record?
He has to articulate clear and convincing reasons.
Well, was he required to accept it?
No.
In the absence of direct evidence to refute it?
No, the ALJ is never going to be bound in under any circumstance that I can imagine to accept a person's testimony as to how he is limited in this fashion. But, you know, then comes the rules. Is he malingering? No. Is there evidence reasonably likely to produce the symptoms? Yes. He has to articulate clear and convincing reasons. So then we go to the reasons as to whether they are clear and convincing.
So did he articulate reasons for rejecting the evidence?
Yes, he did.
What were they?
Okay. See, first he said the x-rays don't show anything to suggest that he can't do anything more than medium work.
Well, that's a different issue. Now I'm talking about pain, right? Did he articulate reasons for rejecting the pain testimony?
Right, and these are the reasons that he's articulated, based on the evidence to say that his testimony is likely or less likely. So, his observation of the x-ray, which is something that I had disputed, the doctor who said that he could do medium work didn't even look at it, and the commissioner has not disputed that point.
Well, I don't see how that relates to pain. That relates to the interpretation of the x-ray. That doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't suffer pain.
Right, and I think that's part of my point, is that he's reviewing these, and the commissioner's papers as well, they're saying that the doctor didn't say this, the doctor didn't say that, and the doctor didn't say that, but as the case law has said, you can't just look at the objective evidence to say whether this person's testimony is credible or not. You have to look into the other factors, like, you know, credibility findings. You know, are there inconsistent statements? Did he talk about stuff that for which he didn't get treatment for? Is he noncompliant with medication? Did he not go see any doctors? You know, these are some reasons that the ALJ can articulate that can be clear and convincing, which was not done in this case.
All right.
The other one is the his residual functional capacity. He says that he could do medium work. And really, he's looking at the commissioner's own examining doctor, Dr. Myatt, and the commissioner's non-examining doctor, who also said that he could do medium exertion. Now, but there was a proliferation of Mr. Moyza's condition, which is the diabetic polyneuropathy. I mean, and their report and their opinions, the ALJ ultimately found that they were under-inclusive. The ALJ did find that he could do medium work, but he also found additional limitations, which indicates that the ALJ was not wholly, you know, he did not want to credit their opinions. In total, there were some deficits in their review of his functioning capabilities. Let's see. The other thing goes to substantial evidence. When you talk about somebody lifting 50 pounds, 25 pounds, you have a person with basically the nerves in his hands and his feet. They're basically diseased. And it's like when you, you know, slam your elbow and you hit your funny bone and you get that sensation, that pain. He's got that in his hands. He's got that in his feet. And he's also got an x-ray in his back showing that some of the nerves going out from the spinal column are being pinched. So you ask this person to lift 50 pounds. I mean, at best, you can see that, I can see that he's probably going to drop it and smash some bones in his feet. I don't think a reasonable person would accept that as his residual functional capacity. And that is the basis on which I'm alleging that the ALJ's residual functional capacity assessment is not supported by substantial evidence.
You wish to reserve the rest of your time for rebuttal, perhaps?
Sure, yes, thank you.
Okay. We'll hear from the government now.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Geraldine Gulseth. I represent the appellee, the Commissioner of Social Security.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
ALJ didn't do such a hard job on credibility findings, did he?
Well,
you've had better cases to defend in the past.
I have had better cases, yes. But I was thinking about the credibility assessment.
Not much there.
You're talking about the pain.
Yes, yes, excess pain.
Was,
and again,
rejected the testimony for lack, what were his words, for lack of medical evidence to support the pain testimony, right?
That was one of the reasons.
That's
yes.
Wrong, is it not?
It's
under
not
the law of this circuit.
It's not wrong.
What he said was, in the absence of medical evidence to support such allegations, I cannot accept this testimony. That's the only basis on which he rejected the pain testimony, right?
If that were the only basis, that would be wrong under the law of this circuit. However,
because it was established that he had impairments that could reasonably
correct.
Likely cause that pain.
Correct.
Okay, now what other evidence is there on the basis of which he could reject the pain testimony?
The ALJ, well, I think two things to keep in mind before I go to the specific paragraph in which he discusses excess pain is that the ALJ's overall analysis also has to be taken into account where he goes through the medical evidence.
Because that leads on to other issues.
Yes. On transcript page 16.
16 at the top of the page or the bottom of the page? There's a 16 on the top and a 12 at the bottom. Is that the page you're looking at?
Page 16 on the top.
Uh-huh. Okay. I have three numbers on that page. 4, 16, and 12, but I think we have the right one. The one that, where the top line of the page is, the claimant sought intermittent treatment from Harbor UCLA, right?
That's correct.
Very good. Now tell us where on the page you're reading.
In making this assessment, the undersigned must consider all symptoms, including
so that's
pain.
The fifth paragraph, right? One,
correct.
2, 3, 4, 5. Yes.
As Judge Schwartzer pointed out, ALJ first notes the lack of corroborating objective medical evidence, but then he does go on to say that no treating or examining physician had assessed any disabling limitations. Well, he doesn't say the word disabling, but he says limitations.
That's the same thing as pain, right?
Well, credibility assessments, as Mr. Cho was pointing out, can be made on, you know, many different factors, and I was inconsistencies in statements, lack of compliance with treatment are factors that have been articulated by this court
in
the past. No, but I think each of these cases are so factually different that what might not be a credibility reason in one case would be a sufficient reason in another.
One case at a time, counsel. Where else does the ALJ point to evidence on the basis of which he rejects the pain testimony.
Well, this is the analysis that
where
that he provides.
Are you looking at?
With regard to his diabetes, no treating or examining physician had assessed any limitations.
Where on the page is that?
That's the fifth paragraph, and it is the second to the last sentence in the fifth paragraph.
Assessed any limitations.
Correct.
But didn't say that it didn't support the pain claims.
But that does go to whether a claimant has disabling pain, because a medical doctor's opinion can not only go to functional limitations, but can also go to, you know, what they think in their experience and based on their knowledge of this patient.
Okay, all that says is limitations.
Correct.
Let me ask you something else. Didn't the claimant testify that he had to lie down during the day from time to time because of the pains?
Correct.
That his capacity became reduced during the day. He testified
yes.
to that, right?
Yes.
Now, where does the ALJ deal with that?
I don't know if he actually cites that evidence for that part of the testimony.
He doesn't.
He acknowledges the back pain and the numbness and the limitation on his sitting and standing ability. That's true. He didn't cite expressly the testimony about lying, needing to lie down.
So you didn't deal with that issue specifically? You didn't accept or reject it?
Not that specific.
Okay, now let's pass.
Testimony.
Let's take a look at the vocational expert's testimony. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
And what did he say about the necessity, about the claimant's necessity of having to lie down?
It would preclude his ability to perform
right?
jobs. That's correct.
So if you accept the pain, the lying down testimony, then he would be totally disabled under the testimony of the BE.
That's correct.
And the ALJ didn't deal with that.
Well, the ALJ rejected his overall testimony.
Well, he rejected the specifics of the pain, debilitating back pain, and enumerates, but he doesn't reject the testimony that he had to lie down during the day from time to time because of the pains.
Well, if you're rejecting one's excess pain and keeping in mind that it's not denying that this man does indeed experience some symptoms, but when you reject excess pain, he's also rejecting the more extreme limitations resulting from that. I mean, this gentleman says he has to lie down often, but nowhere in the record does it say that. And it's not a matter of the absence of corroborating clinical findings, but the few treatment notes that there are, this gentleman isn't going into his doctor and saying, I just can't stand this anymore. You have to help me. I have to lie down.
You're not the ALJ. The ALJ didn't do that.
That's correct. But I think that the ALJ, again, I mean, as I, you know, directed the court's attention to the fifth paragraph here, one also has to look at his entire analysis. For this claim, Mr. Moisa was claiming disability beginning in 1996 through February 2000. And in the beginning, we have a workers' compensation injury based on a hernia and a low back impairment. But he received, you know, very minor conservative treatment for that. The orthopedic surgeon released him, not to his truck driving work, which was considered heavier, but had released him back to some form of work back in 1997. And then there's really the absence of any medical records until some treatment with Dr. Senra in 1999. And again, I may be articulating this a little more clear than I would have liked the ALJ to have done, but I think, again, it has to be.
I mean, the ALJ is the fact finder in this case, not counsel in the appellate court. And he didn't make the fact findings that are necessary to sustain the rejection of the pain testimony, and he didn't make the fact findings that were necessary to reject the specific testimony about his need having to lie down from time to time during the day, which disabled him altogether, according to the VE's own, the ALJ's own expert. So none of that was dealt with. So I don't see how we can say that this opinion was supported by substantial evidence.
Well, again, I believe that the fact that this record is pretty minimal and inconclusive has to be a legitimate factor in the ALJ's analysis. The ALJ found that the excess pain was not credible, and he's basing that on evidence, and again, not just lack of clinical findings or objective medical findings.
That's all he said.
But he's also stating that, as he's summarizing the evidence, he's noting the consultative examiner who believed that, even considering the diabetes at that point as of January 1999, that he could perform a range of work, and also finding that the treatment notes don't necessarily conflict with that. So again, I would ask that the court look at the entire decision based on the record.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't think I really have much to add unless there are any questions.
Well, then maybe you should just sit down.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Jashar, you stand submitted. We're going to take a short recess.